आत्मविज्ञासया यत् Translation, one who inquires into self-realization and thus subdues his powerful anger, which awakens suddenly in the body as if falling from the sky, transcends the influence of the modes of material nature. Prabhupada, when one becomes angry, he forgets himself and his situation, but if one is able to consider a situation by knowledge, one transcends the influence of the modes of material nature. One is always a servant of lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and so forth. But if one obtains sufficient strength and spiritual advancement, one can control them. One who obtains such control will always be transcendentally situated, untouched by the modes of material nature. This is only possible when fully engaged in the service of the Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamcha Yoga Vicharina Bhakti Yogena Sevate. One who engages in the full devotional service does not fall down in any circumstance. One transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the spiritual platform. By engaging one in devotional service, this Krishna consciousness movement keeps one always transcendental anger, greed, lust, envy, and so forth. One must perform devotional service because otherwise one will become victimized by the modes. There is no need to burn these poor trees any longer. Let whatever trees still remain be happy. Indeed, you should also be happy. Now here is a beautiful, well-qualified girl named Marisha, who was raised by the trees of their daughter. You may accept this beautiful girl as your wife. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, after thus pacifying the Prachetas, Soma, the king of the moon, gave them the beautiful girl born from Locha, Apsara. The Prachetas all received Kamalocha's daughter, who had high, very beautiful hips, and married her according to the religious system. In the womb of that girl, the Prachetas all begot a son named Daksha, who filled the three worlds with living entities. Wherefore, Daksha was first born among the reign of Swayambhu Manabhad, and because of offending Lord Shiva, he was punished by having the head of a goat substituted for his own head. Thus insulted, he had to give up that body, and in the sixth manvantara, called the Chakshusha manvantara, he was born in the womb of Marisha, as Daksha in this connection. Krishna Chakrabarti quotes this verse. His previous body had been destroyed, but he, the same Daksha, inspired by the Supreme Will, created all the desired living entities in the Chakshusha manvantara. Thus Daksha regained his previous opulence and again begot thousands and millions of children to fill three worlds. Sukadeva Goswami continued, please hear from me with great attention how Prajapati Daksha was very affectionate to his daughters, created different types of living entities through his semen and through his mind. The word Vidra Vatsala indicates that all the Prajas were born from Daksha's daughters. Krishna Chakrabarti Daksha says all, apparently Daksha had no son. With his mind, Prajapati Daksha first created all kinds of demigods, demons, human beings, birds, beasts, aquatics, and so on. But when Prajapati Daksha saw that he was not properly generating all kinds of living entities, he approached a mountain near the Vindhya mountain range, and there he executed very difficult austerities. Near that mountain was a very holy place named Agamarshana, there. Prajapati Daksha executed rituals and ceremonies to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead Kali by engaging in great austerities to please him. My dear king, I shall fully explain to you the Hamsa Guhya prayers which were offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Daksha, and I shall explain how the Lord was pleased with him from those prayers. For of course, we understood that the Hamsa Guhya prayers were not composed by Daksha, but were existing. Yeah, so this first part of the chapter is actually just an introduction to the Hamsa Guhya prayers. So this is just part of the story where the Soma has interrupted the burning of the trees, and then he offers the Prachetas his daughter, but a girl who was protected by the trees. And the trees took her as her daughter, but actually was born from an apsara. So, Manisha was the name of the girl born from Loksha, was the apsara. And they took that daughter, and then the son that came out was Daksha. And so this Daksha was the previous Daksha who had his head cut off by Lord Shiva and got a goat head. So again, he was reborn here, and then he began to produce progeny. So that's basically the story. And then Daksha, in order to create living entities, he begins reciting the Hamsa Guhya prayers. So this section, the first part, is illustrative of the anger that the Prachetas release to burn up the trees. So previously, Soma has told them this anger is not proper, and they have to respect the trees, etc. So, here in this particular verse, again, he's talking about anger. And the way one can control anger is if one has proper understanding of Atma. Atma jigasaya yachet. One should engage in spiritual realization. Inquiry about Atma, which means about the soul and about the Supreme Lord. This is the only way in which anger can be subdued. Anger in the material world is due to desire. So kama and krodha are aspects of the same thing. They're actually only one thing, that is kama. You cannot have krodha unless you have kama. So desire gives greed to anger when the desire is frustrated by something or somebody. Then one becomes angry. One will not show great anger unless he has great attachment for something. So it is another aspect of desire, in other words. Anyway, it is quite prominent in the material world because desire is prominent, attachment is prominent. And frustration of one's desires is also prominent. So therefore anger becomes very prominent. So the more one is attached, and the more one gets frustrated, then the more angry one can become. So that is the usual source of anger. But were the Prachetas actually angry in the same way? What was their anger caused by? They were actually great sages. They had done austerities in the water, etc., and got instructions from Lord Shiva. So they should not have manifested anger. Yet apparently they showed this type of anger in relation to the trees, because they had overgrown the earth too much. So if this anger is also due to attachment, what was the attachment? So basically the attachment was simply due to the fact that they were responsible for maintaining the earth, and therefore the trees overgrew on the earth, and therefore they get angry at them. So their sense of anger had some basis in reasoning, because they were responsible for supplying food for all the living entities, including the human beings. So they became angry when the trees seemed to overgrow and everything and prevented the human beings from prospering. So that was their
reason.
But the problem with anger is, as described in Bhagavad Gita, when anger occurs, then one becomes bewildered. One becomes confused. If one becomes confused, then one forgets. And what does one forget? One forgets scriptural rules, scriptural intelligence. And as a result of that, one is inclined to do the wrong activity. So therefore, anger in itself is not so dangerous, but the results of that anger in terms of confusion of the mind and consequent acts based on that, that is what is the problem. So, and often that anger, once it starts, is difficult to control. So therefore, somehow or other, the anger and behind it desire has to be eradicated. So there are several ways of doing that. The jnanis, the yogis, will try to get rid of desire and anger by their particular processes. Kama jigyasa is one way, the jnana. Inquiry about atma, you're not the body anyway, so you shouldn't be attached to anything. Jnana yoga and astanga yoga, pratyahara, dharana, jnana, samadhi. Control the senses and stop the mind. Stop the functions of the mind means you stop all desires and hatred and anything else that occurs. Once that is stopped, you get samadhi, you realize atma. So these are two methods, mainly by restricting the senses. Karma yoga on the lower stage does not restrict the senses so much because we have sakkama karma yoga in which you fulfill your desires, but with some rules and regulations. And then nishkama karma yoga, one attempts to get rid of those desires bit by bit. So that will occur when one comes to sakkama. Desires are much less. But they are not completely eradicated. So therefore, jnana and yoga attempt to completely eradicate desires and everything after that. And that, of course, gets rid of karma. So the other process is bhakti. Bhakti does not operate in the same way. It does not restrict in the same way and try to completely eradicate desire, because it recognizes that desire also is inherent in the jiva. So we have to change the desire. So we change the desire from desire for our enjoyment to desire for Krishna's enjoyment. So that is what Lord Chaitanya means by converting kama to prema. The desire in the material world is based on our self. When that desire is directed towards the Supreme Lord for His pleasure, it becomes prema. So desire is involved in either case, but instead of directing it to ourself, we direct it to Krishna. So when we do that, automatically, that other desire must decrease. So the more we dedicate ourselves to Krishna, the less desire we have for ourselves. So when it's 100%, it is called prema. And then there's no more desire, and consequently no more anger. So this is the process of sense control and mind control in bhakti. To absorb the mind and the senses in activities to please the Supreme Lord. So this will eradicate the kama and the krodha and the lobha, etc. So this is considered to be the easy process of detachment from the material world. Of course, it's also not the goal of bhakti to simply become detached. The goal actually is to become attached to the Lord. So by becoming 100% attached to Krishna, we have zero attachment for maya. So the whole process of bhakti is to increase that attachment to 100%. And consequently, we're free from Maya. The other processes, jnana and yoga, they attempt to simply get rid of the kama. So that is a little difficult to do, as Krishna mentions in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Very difficult to practice the process of jnana for one who has a material body. We cannot stop the body from working. We cannot stop the mind from working. So this was, in other words, the way in which we actually get control of the senses, and we control anger, and we control desire. That is by the process of dedicating oneself to the Supreme Lord. Well, there is rasa of anger called Rodra Rasa in the spiritual world. Sometimes Radha becomes angry at Krishna. Or Yasoda will get angry at Krishna. Well, that is anger in the spiritual world. It's not the same as this anger. It's only there to nourish their main rasa.